Well, y'all glad for the rain? Amen. Amen. And the more that is to come? Amen. Amen. Well, before we get going, just want to bring up, y'all know that this is Memorial Day weekend, right? Y'all know what Memorial Day is for? Remembering those guys that have, and ladies that have given their lives for this country. And so it's kind of hard to thank them, isn't it? You know, it's kind of hard to just look up in heaven and say, hey, thanks, but kind of hard to do that. But also I want to, we'll get Frankie to pray over all that here in just a minute, but I want to, because I live this firsthand being in the military, and, you know, those guys, the military, they need all your support. But the ones that are always forgotten are the families, and those people need your support too. Because I know when I was off 14 months here and 6 months here and 8 months there and going off, I was always had something to do. You know, it was, I had a job to do, but my wife was stuck at home with two kids trying to just doing the everyday, day-to-day things of running a family. And I think we forget to pray for the families. So, Frankie, come on up here and let's pray over all that. And don't forget, when you're eating your barbecue tomorrow, whatever you're doing, why you're doing that, the reason for us having this vacation.
Well, let's just pray. Now, Father, I just thank you that you told us to set up memorials, Lord, of memories and to remember things, Father. You gave us an example when Joshua took the Israelites across the Jordan in flood stage to set up a memorial of what you've done. And the cross, the empty cross, resurrection, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus, it's a memorial unto you and your love for us and what you've done. And you told us in your word that no greater love is he that lays down his life for a friend. So we memorialize, we've set up a day to memorialize those that have gone on before us, that have given their life to support and to stand for freedom that our country represents, freedom to worship you, freedom to live where we want, freedom to do the kind of job we want, freedom of all types and sorts, Lord, that you provided through their sacrifice. And Lord, so we remember them, and we set up this memorial to remember all those men and women that have gone on before us. Lord, we also thank you for those that are in active military right now, Lord, because that same scripture applies to them. They are laying down their life. They have signed the dotted line to give their life for the country, for us, even though they may not know us, Lord, and the families, Lord, will lift them up. Those that have had loved ones that's gone on before them, Father, and those that are in the military now and those that are to come, Father, we give a prayer of covering over each and every family. We ask, thank you, Lord, that you send Holy Ghost, the Comforter, to comfort all those families, Lord. So I pray on these days of their memorials, of their remembrances of those and their families that's gone before and those that are serving, that Holy Spirit, you comfort them on this weekend, Lord, and let them know that we stand behind them, we support them, we say hallelujah, amen to their sacrifice in Jesus' name.
Amen. 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 Well, did you know Pastor Robert's over to Indy Valley at the bull riding? So, that's going to be going on this afternoon. Tracy and I are going to be ministering here for the next couple months, just off and on. And I had something that I want to go over here. All right, Laura, I just got to tell you, when I start, I'm not going to say all three of these, okay? So you don't have to worry. But this is on marriages. I just felt impressed to just do just a little something each time we minister on marriages. And you know, how many of y'all know marriages get under attack? Amen? They get under attack. Well, I've always said I do marriage, you know, I have 3 points to marriage counseling, and I'll give you 2 of them, but I'm not going to give you the third one up here. If you want the third one later on, I'll give it to you, but not from this microphone right here. but anyhow, I also have 5 points of wisdom for marriages, and I'm going to give you all of them, but then we'll go over them here just one at a time as the weeks go on. But in a marriage, this is just thus said Dwayne, okay? I don't know where this come from or whatever, but Tracy and I have been married 29 years and still, you know, hadn't killed each other yet. So we've learned something along the way. But 5 of them. The one's communication. 2nd one is religion. 3rd one is money. The 4th one is in-laws. And the 5th one is kids. All those are things you need to be in agreement over, how you are going to handle that in your married life. And We'll go over the first one. Right, the first one was probably the one that Tracy and I had more fights in over 25 years of marriage, was communication. And I'm not talking about look deep into her eyes and, you know, and whatever. I can't even come up with anything to say about that. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about we're leaving the house at 3 o'clock. What exactly does that mean? That is where we get into fights. Not the sweet nothings whispering in their ear. That, no. We're leaving at 3. Exactly what does that mean? Because my version of we're leaving at 3 o'clock means you see the Utopia sign in your rearview mirror at 3 o'clock. That's my version. Her version of 3 o'clock is we begin to start to get things ready to walk out the door at 3 o'clock. Therefore, we have all kinds of, that's not true. The fights we've had tended to be that was over time. What time are we leaving? So in the communication part of it, all we finally did is just sit down and go, okay, let's just agree on what does we're leaving at 3 mean. And what we've decided is it means we're getting in the car. At 3 o'clock, we need to be opening the door and getting in the car. Compromise from both sides. It works great. Hadn't had a fight over when we're leaving in 4 or 5 years. Worked great. Just a tip for marriage. Just a tip. I'm telling you, it'll help. My marriage counseling that I'll give you the first two and not the third one up here is, and this again, is this is from Dwayne and Tracy. I can't find it scripturally. You probably can't find it scripturally. But the first one is, all women are crazy. Pick your crazy. Men, just pick your crazy. They're all crazy. So just pick the crazy you can live with. And my wife come up with one that said, all men are idiots. Pick your idiot. Is that right? No, I'm telling you. We're not perfect. Is that true? People are not perfect. So we just got to, I mean, marriage is a journey together that you just got to get through. Amen? Amen. All right, there's your marriage counseling. We got 4 more of those to go through, but in the weeks to come. They're all from practical experience, from not getting stabbed in my sleep over 29 years. I want to go over something real quick. And can't say that. Let me say this. Probably one of the most divisive subjects in Christianity is, besides what does the Holy Spirit do, is tithing. And tithing is one of them. And I want to give you an example of what happened to Tracy and I. We've been tithing for 29 years. When we got married, that was one of the things, when it talks about money in that communication, or those 5 things, one of them was money. That was one of them that we said, this is what we're going to do. We're going to agree on some things in money, and tithing was one of the things we agreed to do. So, for 29 years, we've been tithing. And we do it, I mean, you can do it however you want to it. We tithe on gross. I mean, if the money comes into our hand, then we tithe on that. I understand if you have a business, you know, because we do have a business, and we have some funds that stay in the business that we don't write checks to ourselves with. And I understand that you have materials and stuff that you've got to buy. And so that kind of gets complicated. I'm not talking about that. I'm just talking about a heart to honor God and to tithe. However you want to do it, tithe off the gross, tithe off the net, whatever you want to do. But we tend to tithe off the gross. Well, here probably first of the year, I felt impressed that because we do leave, I do, not because I'm in charge of the pipe yard over there, I leave money in there and haven't been tithing on it until we write a check coming back to the house. When it comes into our house, you know, Jan runs that part of it, and when it comes into her hands as a check, then we tithe off of it. But there was some money sitting there in a pipe account, and I felt impressed. The Holy Spirit said, tithe off that pipe account. Okay, so all right, we'll do that. Well, the first month I wrote the check, this is what happened. How many of y'all have been around long enough to see patterns when you step out and do something that God tells you to do? What usually happens? I'm going to put it a different way. All hell breaks loose. That's the way I'm going to put it. It just happens. Hebrews, look at Hebrews 10:32. Put that up there. But recall the former days in which, after you were illuminated, you endured a great struggle with sufferings. Whenever the Word of God is illuminated on the inside of you and God speaks to you and you say, okay, I'm going to step out to do that, there's going to be a struggle. It's going to happen. Get ready for it. And this is what I think happens to people, especially in tithing, but in all areas, this is what happens. You go, you know what? I just felt impressed that I need to step out and start tithing. That's the right thing to do. We feel impressed to do it. Well, I just want to let you know, get ready for a struggle. It's coming. And what usually happens is between the period that you start tithing and the period that you see God start to bless you, all hell breaks loose and most people quit. There's that spot in there that most people go, oh my God, look at all these bills that just came in. I can't afford to tithe. But I want to tell you, you can't afford not to. This is what happened to us. I wrote that. I couldn't believe this. We started tithing on that account. My Bobcat broke down. My man lift broke down. My compressor broke down. My Skytrack broke down. My forklift broke down. The pickup broke down. And her Suburban broke down in 6 weeks. So normally, to the natural side of me, I'd go, wait a minute, we're not writing that next month's check because we got to pay for all this stuff that just broke. Have y'all ever gone through that? Anything ever happened like that? I want to encourage you, after 29 years of doing this, keep going. Just keep going. All it is a fight. It's a struggle. You've got an enemy who does not want to see you blessed, and that's the way God said he's going to bless you. And if you'll keep going, you'll see all kind of results. But from the time all hell breaks loose to the time you see results, that's the fighting period. That's the time you got to dig your heels in and go, nope, I know I heard God, I know what the Bible says, and I'm going to keep doing this. So therefore, I wrote a check back there, and Tracy, well, she put it in the deal. You just keep going. When we built storage units, I said, I'm going to build another one. Everybody moved out of the first one except for two or three. And I'm sitting there building a whole new storage building, and everybody's moving out. And we're freaking out at this time, going, my God, how are we going to make a payment? How are we going to do this? And we just, over a period of time, have learned, just stay steady, keep doing what God's told you to do, and you will see results. Amen? All right, that's the second one. This is number three. Go to James 1. And the title of this is, Are You Being Tested by God or Tempted by the Devil? Would you like to know? Would that be a good thing to know, whether if whatever you're going through, it's God or the devil? We should know. It sounds like they're pretty much total opposites. But it kind of gets mixed up in here. Being tested by God or tempted by the devil. What's it say? And let me see if I can get this machine on here. What'd I say, James? James? All right, let me see. Got to get the right light just right. James 1:13 says, let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. Forget this. If you don't get this part right here, you'll not go on with God. You'll always think God is the one who's putting something on you bad. If you get this scripture down right here, what's the four words that'll keep your doctrine straight? God, good, devil, bad. Four little words. God, good, devil, bad. You remember that, it'll keep your whole doctrine straight. But this backs it up right here. It says, For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. If evil is coming your way, if you are being tempted, it is not God doing it. Understand? It's not God. You've got to understand that. God is not doing it. He's not putting something on you just to see how you're going to act, to see how you're going to react. But in every temptation, in every situation, in every stupid move you make, there is a test. And that's where God steps in. Because he can use any situation and say, well, let's find out what they've learned. Yeah, it could be you doing it. What's the next verse say? I mean, look at the next verse. But each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own evil desires and enticed. So it may not even be the devil doing it. It may just be something on the inside of you that's causing you to get pulled away and go in a different direction than what God's telling you to go. But there's a test. How many of y'all, I guess everybody's either gone through school or homeschool or something, and you had tests, right? Any teachers in here? Got teachers? Anybody? School teachers? What's the purpose of a test? Find out what the students learned, right? That's exactly what that's exactly what he's doing. In life, you can learn all kinds of things if you just sit back and listen and just watch yourself and see how you act. I found out more stuff about me just getting myself in trouble and trying to get out. That's pretty much how God says, okay, you didn't pass that one, go on to the next one. You know, we'll go around that mountain again. We'll be back here next week. In the military, that is what they do. They train you, because they want you to react in a certain way in this situation. They want, when the firefight's coming, they don't want you to jump up and run and go the other way. They want you to hold your position and shoot your firing lanes. If you shoot your firing lane and everybody else shoots their firing lane, you set down a suppressive cover of fire. But if somebody jumps up and run, one of those firing lanes is not covered. So they train you and train you and train you to, in a battle, to don't run, stay there and do your job. So you get trained, you get trained, you get trained. They put you in a test, a training test. If you can't handle it or something, what happens? They retrain you. And that is where we, that is what we are. That is where our lives are constantly as Christians. We see where we fail and we go back and get more training, more training, more training. That's why you come to church. That's why you learn the Word of God. You know, that's why you are Christians. But here, let me tell you one on me. And my wife kind of said, don't do this, but I'm not going to listen to the counsel of my wife at this point. No, she said I could. She said, I don't think it'd be very smart. We went to the movies the other night. We went to, where'd we go? Palladium. We went to the Palladium, went and saw Star Trek. It's an excellent, a really good movie. I couldn't remember a cuss word in it. There may have been one, couldn't remember one. Good movie. If you're a Trekkie fan, if you like those type of things, it's a good movie. So anyway, we go and watch the movie, and we're coming out, and it's what time? 8:15 or so. So it's starting to get close to dark, but it's not really dark. And Memorial Day weekend, it had rained. People, everybody and their brother was at the movie theater. I'm in this one-ton truck that takes up three parking spots, and then you can't get out because you go to back out and you can't turn the wheel far enough to get off this one. Then you're hitting somebody in the back over here. So finally work my way and oop back, finally get out. And go over there and come to a stop sign. So I'm waiting there, my turn for the stop sign. Well, how many of y'all know when you're waiting your turn at the stop sign, it eventually becomes your turn? Well, it eventually become my turn. Well, this guy's coming this way with his blinker on, going to turn right here. So I pull out. Well, he doesn't appreciate that. So he lays down on the horn. All right, well, I'm slightly irritated. But I don't say nothing. Did I? Yeah, I think I did. But he couldn't hear it. I had to say something so my wife could hear, something about stupid people and, you know, all that stuff. So okay, get over that one. So we're going down to the next four-way stop. Well, we come to a four-way stop. I stop. Look, it's my turn to go. Start to go, and here comes a pedestrian walking out in front of me. Now, I understand that those crosswalks, pedestrians have a right-of-way. But that's the stupidest law I've ever heard of. Why would a pedestrian want to step out in front of a moving truck? Why would they want to do that? It's like bicycles riding up and down this road right here. Yeah, you got the law on your hand, but on your side, but it ain't the smartest thing to do. So I pull up there, and he's walking across there, and I stop. And I kind of ooch up a little bit. And when he got by, he gave me a gesture I wasn't really, didn't really sit real well with me. And I've got power windows, and I can roll down any window I want to. So I rolled down Tracy's windows because he's walking that way. He said, "You," and she covered my mouth and starts rolling up the window on the other side. I said, "How the heck did you do that?" She dang near got her finger bit. But she got the window rolled up. And we looked at each other, and she said, "Didn't pass that one, did you?" I said, "Nope, didn't pass that test. Did not do it." That's what I'm talking about, people. That's what I'm talking about. That's everyday life that everybody goes through, that if you'll just stop and think, because we talked about it on the way home, it's a test. You're supposed to walk in love with people. Don't agree with it, don't like it, but that's the rules. And so I try to do that as much as possible. Just sometimes it jumps out before I get it all fixed. But that's the test. That is where if I was in the military still, they would have said, "Okay, back of the line, go try that one again. We're going to run some dummy out here in front of him again and see if he yells at him." That's it. I'm telling you, that is everyday life that we've got to deal with. And if we can just learn from it, hopefully next time that happens, you know, I'll just look at him and go, "God bless him." It might take two or three more times to get there. But maybe next time I won't roll the window down. Yeah, just one step at a time. One step at a time. And last thing, is this is what I wrote down, is you're growing when you recognize you fail a test and start working on it. That's when you're growing. Any like Bruce, and when they do their recovery thing, the first step in recovering over anything is recognize there's a problem. That's the first thing. Once you recognize, you stand there and go, "Okay, that wasn't right. Yes, that's a problem. We need to start working on that." Now you're on the road to a recovery, however you want to say it. That may be a long road in some cases, or it may be a little shorter road in some cases. I had Tracy remind me when I was on the bomb squad, Steve came up to me one day. I'd been there probably a month or so, and I don't know if y'all, well, I'll just tell you about it. You go to take a grenade apart or a landmine or something, your hands will start to shake. Your heart will pound through your throat. But he came up there and told me one day, said, "You got to get a hold of that. Your emotions are going to kill you." And from that point on, I can't say what changed. I don't know what changed, but I recognized the problem was, and I never had a problem with my hand shaking ever again doing that, or my heart pounding through my throat. Afterwards, it did. After we got through doing something, it did. But while we were going through it, never had to deal with that again. So Tracy said, "If you can do it there, how come you can't fix it on this one?" I said, "Well, that anger thing's different. That's a hard one to take care of." But it's there. It's the same principle. It's the same thing. You say, "God, I got, all right, help me." And that's when God steps in. Amen? Amen. Anything else? I could give you the third one on my marriage thing, but nah, better not. We'll leave that one alone for now. Amen. Stand up. Frank, you got prayer team or anything? Okay. Prayer team, come on up. If you need prayer for anything, these people are up here and they know what they're doing. They know the Word of God. They know how to apply it. And just need agreement. The Bible says if any two of you agree on anything, that it will be done. So sometimes you just need some agreement. Amen? Well, Father, I just thank you for this day, Lord. I thank you for everything that's going on in this church and from this church, that over there in Uvalde, Lord, that service is touching people's lives, Lord, that those bull riders and that are ministering there afterwards, Lord, that touches cowboys' hearts. in this area, Lord, and we just thank you for it. Lord, I thank you that today that everybody in here is blessed. Lord, I thank you that any problem, anything that they're going through, Lord, that it's agreement that'll help them through it, and I just ask you to bless them in Jesus' name. Amen.